Sportscast, March 11th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Tonight's sponsor is Insta Bible app, create verses and pictures. Download Insta Bible app today in the App Store. Right now, Liverpool is up 1-0 against Atletico Madrid for the Champions League. We'll keep you guys informed what's going to happen today. March Madness will be played with no participants, only for a few people, but very few. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about college basketball and maybe some NBA if we have time, Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Kailu, lots going on, not just in sports, but in the world, the coronavirus, health, people are getting sick. It's also affecting sports, Kailu. What do you think about that?
I think personally, I don't agree with closing. I don't agree with closing the arena just yet. I think we got to take steps to help reduce the odds. But, I don't think we're at the point where we should close arenas. I obviously think we should take steps to helps prevent spreading it from if the person's sick from helping it spread. However, I don't think we're at the point where we should close the arena just then and play in front of no fans. However, I do understand why they would want to do that, but I don't agree we're at that point where we should close for fans just yet.
So I'll read you the statement of NCAA President Mark Emmert. Says that NCAA Division I basketball tournament games will be played without fans in the arenas because of concerns about the spread of coronavirus. Emmert said in a statement Wednesday he made the decision to conduct both the men's and women's tournament, which begins next week, with only essential staff and limited family in attendance. Kailu, will this be a huge factor in March Madness now?
I think it's going to be, because as more leagues, and as this isn't about the NCAA, but about with Warriors, I think as more teams and as more things, and as you can see, what they're doing with other sports, I think it's going to be more of a thing as if it doesn't get better at the NCAA along with the other leagues, they released a joint statement to help. If it doesn't get better, then you can see more leagues just start to continue to ramp up efforts to help prevent so much spread.
We'll see what happens. I mean, the NCAA, March Madness, lasts about 2 to 4 weeks, right?
Yes.
So maybe for the first 2 weeks, let's see what happens. And then hopefully by the final, we'll be able to have fans, at least half the stadium.
I think it depends, but also if you try the first 2 weeks, you may go all in and you may have see a success, but it depends how the public feel about it. Because I know in the NBA, they were, for the most part, they were leaving it up to the fans for now. And then the thing, if it gets better, but mostly they were leaving it up to the fans, because mostly it's really affecting older people who've been to the country, or older people. So they were mostly leaving it up to the fans.
Yeah, as Kelly was mentioning, the only team in the NBA that are not allowing fans is the Golden State Warriors, but it's because of San Francisco, the city of San Francisco banned any large crowds or any huge audience in a special event, which I believe the city of Seattle as well has the same situation. But Seattle doesn't have an NBA team, so they don't have to worry about that. So Golden State will be playing without fans. They're playing against the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, in an empty Chase Center. Kailu, obviously some NBA players have spoken about not playing with fans. Do you think the NBA will be the NBA without fans at a stadium?
I don't think that no professional sport is going to be the same without fans. I think that's why we all fall in love with the game. The concession stand, I think, is going to be very different. The games on television is going to be very different. However, I do think that NBA players' initial hesitation about not playing with fans. I know LeBron was initially a thing. I think that more had to do with the initial shock of, like, you've been playing with fans all your life. You've been playing with fans since high school. I don't think it was more dumb to do it defying and saying, like, they wouldn't play without fans. I think they would play without fans. I think, obviously, they want it to be the last resort. Nobody wants to play without fans. But, like, if it continues to get worse and it's the best way to help prevent somebody odds of it happening and for it to slow down the chances of more people getting impacted by it and the health officials are saying it and the leagues are consulting it, I think it's obviously going to be the best thing to do for all the parties involved.
Exactly. Hopefully this is a short-term thing, and hopefully we'll see fans for the NBA Finals, because it would be kind of boring to see just you know, people, I mean, just players just playing and no sound, just hearing the coaches screaming. But it should be interesting. We'll see how things going. Let's go into the ACC tournament. Right now they're in the quarterfinal stage, actually still playing the second round. Your Duke has beat Pittsburgh, number 13. They're in the quarterfinals. Kailu, how is Duke doing in the ACC tournament so far?
I think Duke is doing really well. One of the keys to the ACC tournament is going to be they're going to need to make sure they keep burning Carey out of foul trouble, keep our primary ball handler, Trey Jones, out of foul trouble. The key runs through him, so making sure that he's able to play. Getting that consistent for Duke, it's going to be about this whole tournament, making sure we get that key third best player on Duke. So making sure that in the last couple of games, we had Dave Robinson's son, Justin Robinson, step up. So making sure we keep Vernon Carey and Trey Jones out of foul trouble and making sure that we get a consistent third score for Duke. So that's going to be about how far we go, making sure we get that consistent third score for Duke.
So ACC, can you tell me, you know, besides Duke, who are the top teams or top contenders in this year's college basketball from the ACC?
I think the top contenders in ACC is Virginia. They had a lot of close games. They started off 4-4 in the ACC and through January 20. They finished, they won 8 straight games. So they finished winning 8 straight games. Virginia's a team, they played great defense. They won a lot of close games. They lost Kyle Guy and DeAndre Hunter in the draft. So they played great defense. However, they don't score a lot of points. So they win their games, usually close games. They have a lot of statement wins. So they're really good defensively. So they're a team that you should definitely watch in ACC from a defensive standpoint. It's about how much points, if they can score enough points to win. They have the heart to win. They're well coached by Tony Bennett, one of the best coaches in the ACC. Florida State's are really good. They play as a team. They don't have the star power of a Duke. They go 10 deep. They play a lot of guys in the rotation, and they won ACC for the first time in school history. North Carolina this year had the injury with Cole Anthony. He's their primary ball handler. He's the son of Greg Anthony, CBS. He's the son of Grant Anthony. They didn't really have a good year. They were 6-14 in conference, and a lot was expected of them this year. They got swept by Duke, and they had a down year this year. Louisville's really good. And the other teams, for the most part in ACC, didn't have as good of a year as they thought.
Now, how do you see this ACC conference, Kailu? Do you think one of these teams, one of the top teams that you're naming, can win the whole thing?
I think if things break right, I think Virginia could be a sleeper. I think a lot to do it about it has to do with region you end up in college basketball. I think it's more about like what region you end up in. What bracket? I think it depends about like what path. Because Virginia, if you get in the close game with Virginia, they obviously have the formula to win because they just won last year. They beat Texas Tech last year, and they was able to score enough points to win that game. They lost Hunter and Kyle Guy, so it's huge losses for them. Kyle Guy was their great shooter, and Hunter was great at scoring. They don't have the scoring they did last year. This crew takes longer to score. They don't have that core they had last year, so that's different. I think Duke can win. But they're gonna have to keep Trey Jones out of foul trouble and find that consistent third score, which Duke has had trouble scoring at times. They've had some great wins, but they've also had some questionable moments. It's not like last year where they had Zion; it was the number one team. They've had more of an adjustment because last year's team, RJ Barrett, was more ready to win. They could still win the championship, but I think a lot's going to have to break their way more this year than last year, but they are still possible. And Florida State, I think they can win too, but they're relying on a collection of guys over a star. Meanwhile, Virginia plays defense. Duke's relying on two guys. Sometimes they have trouble finding that third guy. And Florida State's relying on a collection of guys opposed to one specific individual.
Duke, obviously this is the post-Zion Williamson era. Kailu, how would you rate this Duke team compared to the past years?
I think this Duke team is coming along really good. They have a lot of good wins. They swept North Carolina. I think in post the past years, last year is a bit unfair to rank them. They won only seven basketball programs that won 25 games in 2017-2018. Last year is a bit unfair to rank them, the last year's team, because last year's team had the number one pick in Zion Williamson, and last year's team really, like, last year's team was a pro team. I mean, Zion wasn't even, like, I was shocked when he went to Duke and had R.J. Barrett, who's Steve Nash's godson, and Cam Reddish, who's inconsistent, but he was one of the best players in the class. I think this year is more of a work in progress from last year's team, but where this team is better than last year's team, I think they're better shooting. They're better shooting free throws, and I also think they're more well-rounded. But last year was more of a ready pro team.
Yeah, definitely. You know, seeing Zion Williamson's stood out year. Definitely. It's kind of hard to live up to that moment because Zion, those type of players only come so often, every couple 3-5 years. But ACC is definitely a force to be reckoned with. Just like Kailu says, it's not sexy, but they have potential to go deep. So we'll see where ACC will land this year. Let's go into the Big 12. Number one is Kansas. Number two, Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas, also Texas Tech and West Virginia. How do you see the Big 12 this year, Kailu?
I like the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is one of the underrated conferences. Kansas is 17th. Kansas is
number one.
Kansas is 17. Yes, Kansas is 17-1 in conference. That was pulling up 20-3 overall on the road. 15-1 at home. 11-1 on the road. They've won 16 straight games. Baylor is second. 15-3. They have really good guard play. They play really good defense. They're 26-4 overall. 14-1 at home. 9-2 on the road, and they've lost one. I think that for the Big 12, it comes down to Kansas and Baylor. I like Azubuike inside. They have a lot of experience with Bill Self. Scott Drew, they've never really been in this situation heading to the tournament. So that's going to be a concern. But, however, I do like their guard play. I think they have what it takes. I think a lot of people, when they pick their bracket, me wanted them. I think Kansas and Baylor is going to be picked in a couple Final Four brackets and Baylor as well. I don't really expect much outside of conference from Texas, West Virginia, Oklahoma. I think there's a two-team race, and I both think Kansas and Baylor could end up in the Final Four, but it depends like what region they're in and like who they're going to be playing.
Of course, this week is conference. This week is championship week. So a lot of the conferences will have their own tournament with themselves. And if you heard Ryan's podcast yesterday, these conference championships, you don't really have to win them. Some of these teams played safe, or some of them just want to win it no matter what. But Selection Sunday is this Sunday. March Madness begins next week on the 17th, right before my birthday. And it is going to be quite interesting this year because there'll be no fans for March Madness. So we'll definitely be a quieter scene. We'll probably hear more Charles Barkley and things like that. But any closing words on college basketball, Kailu?
No.
Well, Selection Sunday is this Sunday, and the tournament begins next week. Let's look into the NBA. Lakers had a huge win on Sunday, being the Clippers. A pretty not easy, but pretty good second quarter. Good second half of the Lakers. They beat the Clippers 112-103. Kailu, what were your thoughts about that game?
I thought it was really good for the Lakers. They came in 1-5 overall against Milwaukee and the Clippers overall. The first game was opening game of season, not to make excuses for the Lakers, but it was early. I was very impressed with the Lakers all weekend. I felt the Lakers really did what they had to do. The Lakers won 11 of 12, four in a row. Anthony Davis scored 30 points. Avery Bradley was the key for the Lakers. I feel like he's been really underrated for the Lakers. At the first beginning of the season, I could tell the coaching staff he was always good defensively. I could tell at the beginning of the season from now to at this point, the coaching staff really worked on his shooting. I think his shooting has come a long way since the beginning of the season. So I was very impressed. The Lakers, they haven't lost a game going into the fourth quarter. The Lakers have yet to lose a game yet going into the fourth quarter. Coming into the day of that game, they're 20-2 against West opponents with the Clippers win. LeBron James and Anthony Davis just took over the game when they needed to. LeBron James had a lot of success getting to the rim, 28.17 field goal overall, 12 of 14 from free throw line, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, plus 7, 35 minutes, really set the tone. In the first two games, I feel like the difference between LeBron in the first two games and that game, I feel like he took initiative early in the game, instead of letting the game come to him like he did in the previous games and still end up with his numbers. He took initiative, and Anthony Davis followed along, co-sided with him. I thought that was really important for us. Anthony Davis, 30 points, 11 of 19 field goals, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block in 34 minutes. Avery Bradley had a terrific game. He was different in the game because Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to do their part. But Avery Bradley in 33 minutes, 6 of 12 field goal, 9 of 17 field goal, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 33 minutes. And then our bench, even though Kuzma didn't shoot the ball well, I think Vogel's done what he did in Indiana, bringing over that Pacers defense. He went had a lot of battles with LeBron. I feel like Vogel's been tremendous, bringing that, getting everybody to buy in that defensive concept. Because when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron, you're going to be solid on offense. You just got to be able to bring it on defense. Even though Kuzma didn't shoot the ball well, he only shot the ball 3 of 8. He did have 10 rebounds. And the key stat, he had 3 offensive rebounds and 8 points. I feel like he did a really good job on the wing. Like, and that's something that Vogel's good at, because when he was in Indiana, when he had Paul George, on his first stint, Danny Granger, David West, Roy Hibbert, even though he didn't beat LeBron, he had those battles, and Vogel was really good at bringing out the best of young players and also coaching veterans. So I got to give him credit for that. KCP had 9 points. He was a plus 9, 28 minutes. He's been one of the Lakers' most consistent shooters this year. Danny Green struggled, but that's all right. The Lakers shot 24 of 28, 85.7% from the line. They had 45 free throws. So they shot 10% higher from the free throw line. Avery Bradley. So they end up holding Kawhi at 27 points, 9 of 18 field goal. And the Lakers, the three reasons why the Lakers won the game is because LeBron, well, even though he ends up getting his numbers, he was more aggressive early. The Lakers just hold the Clippers under 40% shooting, which is a tremendous feat holding a Kawhi, Paul George, and that Clippers depth. So the thing, Morris played 30 minutes and didn't score, so that ended up helping the Lakers. So more aggressive LeBron and holding the team to under 40% shooting is definitely going to win you a basketball game.
Little quick update on the Champions League. Liverpool and Atletico finished drawed 1-1. I believe they're going to penalty shootout or extra time. I don't remember my soccer rules here for Champions League, but regulation time is complete. The reason why I brought up the Lakers and Clippers, Kailu, is that some people say these are the two best teams in the NBA and could potentially meet in the Western Conference Final, played in L.A. Some pundits say Clippers are a better team. And then, you know, some other pundits say that the Lakers are a better team. From an unbiased view, Kailu, what are your thoughts about these two clubs?
I think there are the two best teams in the league. I think because I think we see sometimes, even when Milwaukee's winning, I think sometimes you can dare Giannis to shoot. And I think in the playoffs, when the game slows down, it's a half-court game. I think the Clippers are going to beat her because the 6'8 to 6'9 guys in the playoffs win. You got to have an abundance of wing defenders to win. Kawhi's one of them. He's won 2 finals MVPs. You got Paul George. I would hold back that he's necessary thing. He's had some playoff moments where it's been questionable. 2 years ago, I mean, Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder both outplayed Paul George. He had the game when he went 5 points. I think it was 2 of 16 or 2 of 18 shooting from the floor. So he obviously has some struggles in the playoffs. He hasn't been the greatest shooter in the playoffs. But the Clippers do present a lot of problems. They do have a lot of wing defenders. And Kawhi Leonard, two-time Finals MVP, Paul George, really good defender in the playoffs. They have a really good bench, Montrezl Harrell and Reggie Jackson and Lou Williams. But the downside of that, that can also get in your way because Lou Williams is not a great defender. Reggie Jackson's never really learned how to win. And you have a bunch of guys, if you're going to play Lou Williams, you're cutting into Landry Shamet way. So if you have a lot of depth, it also could end up working against you unless guys get in foul trouble. And I don't necessarily – the Clippers, they haven't developed that identity together because Kawhi's missing games every now and then. Paul George missing games every now and then. So you got to be able to develop that identity. Even though they have been tremendous when they're both healthy, but the Lakers have been able to go through the war together. They have more chemistry. So you have to be able to, like, you have to be able to develop that culture and that identity. And Anthony Davis, this is really important for him because coming into this year, he never really won before. Even though Anthony Davis is a top five player, this is the most wins he's ever had in his career. And happy birthday, Anthony Davis, by the way, he turned 27. But he's never really won. So I think it was more important for him, for LeBron, to teach him, like, how to win because he's never really won before. And I think the Lakers have underrated depth. I was upset with them. They didn't make a thing until they added Morris. I think the Lakers have underrated depth. And I think if Vogel did what he did and Kuzma's now another wing defender, I think that helps the Lakers. I think they have underrated depth. I think Caruso's been really important for the Lakers. They have wing defenders in KCP. I think Danny Green's been huge. And LeBron AD, if the Lakers can keep getting that consistent third score, and we could see less Rondo right now, not always the best situation for the Lakers right now, we could definitely think. But I think it's definitely Lakers and Clippers. I think the difference between Denver is Jokic is not the best player on the championship team. I think he's the second star in the championship team. And the other team, the Rockets, don't play defense. And even though they were winning some of the games with the small ball, they're getting out-rebounded in every game in the playoffs. You're not going to – the game slows down. You're not going to be taking 100 shots. You're not going to be running up and down. In a playoff basketball, the game really slows down. You're going to be playing most in the half court, and you're not going to be shooting. And once the Rockets go cold from three, it's three-pointer bust for the Rockets.
Which I agree with you on that. You know, Denver is a good regular season team, but not a great playoff team. And they don't have any dynamic players. Jokic is – great big man, but not saying much. He can't take it to that last winning shot. It's kind of a strange team. It's a Denver Nugget team that I could never figure out these past 2 years. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. NFL, there's rumors about Jalen Hurts moving up in the NFL draft order mock-ups. Kylie, where do you see Jalen Hurts landing in the first round or in later rounds? Where do you think he'll go?
I think teams are always quarterback hungry. So I wouldn't rule out him possibly moving up. And I do agree. And, like, I think rumors are flying around now. So I think definitely a team out there second or third round. But I definitely wouldn't rule about him to sneak into that second round, that late second round, because teams are always quarterback hungry. So they're always going to try for the quarterback. So I definitely won't rule that out. But I definitely think he should sit behind a veteran. Possibly a veteran to get that experience and maybe a playoff team. I definitely think that would be in his calling cards. But I wouldn't rule it past him moving up because rumors are flying around. Teams are going to be taking quarterbacks left and right this time of year.
Pretty fast player itself, a good runner. Not the best thrower you could think of, but there are some people pointing him to Dallas Cowboys. You think him sitting behind Dak would be a good situation?
I think you can definitely do some things with him and Zach, especially if they give him the money or they come to some kind of resolution. I don't think it would be bad for him to sit back to Zach because he can be a backup quarterback. Zach doesn't really get hurt, but he can definitely be a young backup quarterback, better than what they have in Cooper Rush right now. So.
If you were the Redskins, would you pick up Tua and potentially have him start over Haskins?
I think this is very, very risky by the Redskins. Because on one hand, you say, look, you draft the best player. You're in the spot for a reason. You have the number two overall pick. However, given the Redskins' history, you could draft Tua. You could have a quarterback competition, and you could end up starting Tua. But if you waste the pick, and his medicals turn out to be bad, you're Washington here, and you're Washington. Can you be trusted to make that pick and assess his medical history? If you feel like if you feel like Tua is your guy and you really think he's better than Haskins, however, I would push back against that because I don't think that we were able to see the best Haskins. I would argue he had no offensive line. He was thrown in the fire. He was thrown in the fire. They didn't even have a playbook for him. He was just thrown in the fire. They had a lot of dysfunction. They had no offensive line. He didn't know the system. And then as the season went on, he actually got better. So I would argue, if you think Tua is better than Haskins, you could always trade Haskins. You could always trade Haskins. There's always going to be teams that are looking for a quarterback. You could go that route. But I just think, for me, I just think it would be better for them to take Chase Young and give Haskins a chance to really get an O-line. Because we don't know what Haskins is unless you obviously – if you're convinced Tua is straight better, then you have to go that way. If you're convinced – I think Tua is better, but I don't really trust the Redskins to make that decision. So I would just take I would play it safe to take Chase Young, and I would get an offensive line around Daniel Haskins ASAP, and I would make sure the right coach – and Ron Rivera is in place so that we can make sure that we develop Haskins.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins definitely is a potential good quarterback. He did really well in college football. But I do agree with Kyle. I think having Chase Young would be a great asset for the team and for the club. Justin Herbert, do you think he'll make it in the top five?
I think it's possible. I think I was looking at Tom McShay. I think it's very possible. I think to the Chargers with the Phillip Rivers situation, I think that's definitely possible, and I think there's going to be more teams thing. And I think the Lions might, well, Matthew Stafford, I think that's definitely going to be possible. There's always teams that move up, like what the Bears did with Mr. Biscay. Obviously, it didn't work out that great for them. They ended up moving up. They passed on Watson and Mahomes. But I definitely think there are going to be teams, but look out for the Chargers. And I definitely think there's going to be a lot of offensive line. I think this draft is going to be heavy skill position. There's a lot of receivers, Justin Jefferson, the Clemson, T. Higgins, those guys, and CeeDee Lamb is definitely going to be moving up the charts. So,
how about Jerry Jeudy going to the Giants, possibly?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of receivers taken, and I'm hoping Justin Jefferson slips to my Packers to compliment Devontae Adams. So I think that's definitely going to be in the – I think there's going to be a lot of offensive line taken. I think you're going to be able to find quality receivers taken in the third or fourth round that could be first-round grades. And I definitely think there's – of course, there's going to be 6 to 7 quarterbacks taken.
Liverpool just scored. They're up 2-1. They're in a good driving seat to the next round. That is your Champions League update. Kailu, anything else before we head into game predictions?
No.
Utah Jazz at the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think the Oklahoma City Thunder has been very, very hot. Billy Donovan is a top 5 coach of the year candidate. They've been really, really good. They're at home, but they've been really winning a lot of road games. I think it was 13 of 14 road games that they're at home tonight. They're 40-24 overall. They're 20-13 at home. They're playing some really good basketball right now. They're 8-2 overall. They've won 3 straight games. They're playing really, really good basketball game. That's going to be a really, really good game and jockeying for position. I think the Thunder win, though, tonight.
Utah's at 4th. Thunder's at 5th. So definitely there's some battle between that 4th and 5th spot. Denver Nuggets at the Dallas Mavericks.
The Mavericks are really good offensively. They're coming off a back-to-back, which is really tough for the Mavericks. I'm going to go with Denver in a close one. The Mavericks really struggle defensively. They don't really have the players to defend defensively. I think it's going to be a track meet. I think it's going to be first one 130 points. I'm going to go with the Nuggets.
Luka versus Jokic, a European classic. So we'll see how those teams do. What do you think about Luka? You think Luka could lead the Mavericks deep into the playoffs?
I think a lot about the Mavericks. I don't think they're going to go deep in the playoffs because they don't do much defense. So I think their offense is really fun to watch, and they can give a team like the Rockets hell. However, like they're going to be around that. They're going to be in the outside portion looking in because they don't really play much defense.
And there you have it. Kailu is our NBA contributor, same as college football and, of course, college football, football, basketball, and NBA, and maybe some women's soccer at times. Random question. Have you or will you try Wendy's breakfast?
I will definitely try Wendy's breakfast.
There you have it. Kailu, what is the best way for people to reach you to talk to you about Luka Doncic?
They can reach me at KyrieBorden12 on Twitter and Instagram.
And there you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and at thesportscast1. We'll keep you guys updated of any other leagues not having participants in the stadiums. Of course, March Madness did it. Will the NBA do it? NBA is in the hot seat right now. So we'll see what happens. Anyways, Kailu, always a pleasure.
Thank you.